Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY26 earnings conference call of HEICO Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. With this, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sameer Hiremath, Managing Director from HEICO Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and a warm welcome to all of you. I extend your gratitude to all of you for participating in our Q1 FY26 results conference call. We are pleased to provide you with an update on the progress made by our company. We trust that you have had the opportunity to review our comprehensive earnings release, investor presentation, and the financial statements for the quarter ended 30th June 2025. These documents can be accessed on both HEICO's official website and the stock exchange's websites. I am Sameer Hiremath, Vice Chairman and Managing Director of HEICO Limited, and I'll be leading the discussion and presenting the financial results. On this call with me, I have Anish Swadhi, our Senior President and Head of Business Transformation, Kuldeep Jain, our Chief Financial Officer, Manoj Malhotra, our President, Pharmaceutical Business, Vimal Kulkarni, our President, Crop Protection Business, and Strategic Growth Advisors, our Investor Relations Advisors. Q1 FY26 marks a continuation of the challenging industry environment characterized by global overcapacity, intensified price pressures, and demand volatility across core markets. The chemical and life science sector continues to experience uneven recovery with pricing compression in select geographies, especially from Chinese competition. Tariff shifts and procurement variations due to trade realignments further complicated the external landscape, leading to a muted first quarter. In this quarter, HEICO reported consolidated revenue of 380 crores and EBITDA of 25 crores. Our consolidated performance was impacted primarily due to the deferment of shipments in our pharmaceutical business. Our pharmaceutical business saw 11.7% revenue degrowth on a year-on-year basis on account of delayed offtake from key anchor customers. During the quarter, the U.S. FDA issued an official action indicated OAI status to our Bangalore facility following the inspection in February 2025. We want to assure all stakeholders that HEICO has taken this matter seriously and has already implemented comprehensive corrective and prevention actions in line with the agency's observations. These observations were procedural in nature and did not include any issues on data integrity. We have submitted a detailed response update outlining these actions and remain in active communication with the U.S. FDA. We are working diligently to ensure full compliance and alignment with all regulatory expectations. We continue to uphold the highest standards of quality and remain committed to strengthening our regulatory systems and culture. We did have some positive news during the quarter. GMP audits at our Bangalore API facility by two global regulatory authorities, ANVISA in Brazil and PMDA in Japan, were successfully concluded. This reinforces our regulatory credentials and positions us well for future growth in key Latin America and Japanese markets. This is in line with our current strategy to de-risk our market concentration in view of the uncertainty in the ongoing tariffs. In the CDMO segment, the pipeline remains healthy, and we engage in multiple projects with global innovator customers. Most of these are in the early to mid-development stages. Commercial revenues are expected to happen towards the end of this financial year. The crop protection business continues to maintain a stable trajectory, largely driven by sporadic global demand in specific segments while having persistent pricing erosion from oversupplied markets. Revenue remained largely flat on a year-on-year basis. Despite this, we maintain operational efficiency through tighter cost controls and process optimization. We anticipate a gradual volume recovery in the second half of the year as seasonal demand picks up across global agrochemical markets. In summary, while Q1 FY26 reflects a slow start and a negative start to the financial year, we remain confident of delivering on our yearly guidance, which we spoke about in the last investor call. We expect performance to improve meaningfully in the second half of the financial year, with Q4 being the strongest quarter of the year, led by enhanced plant utilization, increased offtakes, and new product commercialization. Now I will hand over to Kuldeep Jain, our CFO, who will provide an overview of the financial performance.
Thanks, Sameer, and good afternoon, everybody. Let me now walk all of you through the financial performance of HiCal for the quarter 1 FY2026 and share key updates on our financial trajectory, capital allocation priorities, and balance sheet strengthening. For Q1 2026, our consolidated revenue stood at Rs. 380 crore compared to 407 crore in the corresponding quarter of the last year. This reflects the impact of continued softness in select product categories and deferred offtake from key anchor customers, particularly in the pharmaceutical division, partially offset by stable performance of our crop production. EBITDA stood at ₹25 crore with an EBITDA margin of 6.5% as against 14.3% in Q1 FY2025. The margin compression was largely driven by under absorption of fixed costs, less favorable product mix, and lower capacity utilization in a few manufacturing blocks on account of scheduled maintenance shutdowns. Depreciation and finance costs for the quarter were ₹39 crore and ₹17 crore respectively. The cash profit for the quarter stands at ₹16 crore. During the quarter, we improved our working capital utilization, resulting into a positive free cash flow of ₹15 crore. Our capex for Q1 FY2026 was ₹31 crore, primarily towards the debottlenecking, regulatory upgrades, and CDMO capacity augmentation. We are maintaining our full year capex guidance of ₹200 crore and remain disciplined in allocating capital towards high ROI projects aligned with our long-term growth strategy. Our debt equity ratio remains stable at 0.54. Our balance sheet and cash flow remain strong. Now I would like to hand over to Bimal, who will provide an overview of crop protection division performance. Over to you, Bimal.
Thank you, Kuldeep. Good afternoon, all the participants of this earning call. The global crop protection industry continued to face uneven recovery in Q1 FY26. This is led by persistent overcapacity and aggressive price competition from China. Despite these market challenges, we at HiCal have remained focused on disciplined execution, prioritizing operation efficiency, product mix optimization, and strategic customer engagements. During the quarter, our crop protection revenue stood at 178 crore with EBIT at 17 crore, largely flat on year-on-year basis. Margin remained under pressure as pricing pressure continues due to oversupply in the global system. The performance expected to remain stable during the year on annual basis. Adding to the industry level pressures, global innovator customers in the crop protection segments are undergoing significant strategic shifts. These include portfolio realignment, business segment restructuring, and a pivot towards next generation innovation platforms. This alignment is influencing procurement patterns, contract timelines, and in some cases impacting commercial decisions across the value chain. While this presents near-term volatility, it also opens up longer-term opportunities for differentiated partnerships, co-development programs, and supply chain localization. In addition to crop protection, we are also making measured progress in personal care and specialty chemical space. In line with our broader diversification strategy, during the quarter, we continue to deepen engagement with global customers for innovation-driven cosmetic and personal care ingredients, supported by our capabilities in complex chemistries and sustainable manufacturing. The response has been encouraging from customers with early success as we have received multiple RFPs. This segment remains an emerging growth lever and we are focused on building a differentiated product portfolio aligned with evolving customer and regulatory expectations. Accordingly, we have intensified engagement with strategic accounts, realigning our technology pipeline to reflect customer prioritization and focused R&D efforts on developmental molecules that align with innovation-led demand. We continue to maintain a healthy development pipeline of 8 projects. Our R&D team continue to play a pivotal role in acceleration these projects and delivering with innovation. In terms of cost control, we have implemented several initiatives across procurement, energy optimization, and yield improvements, helping us protect contribution margin is an aggressive pricing in an aggressive pricing environment. In summary, while near-term market dynamics remain fluid, our fundamentals in crop protection business remain intact. We are confident that the strategic choices we are making today, both in terms of portfolio and operational excellence, will enable us to deliver profitable, sustainable growth as the industry rebalances. Now I would like to hand over to Manoj, who will provide an overview of pharmaceutical division performance. Over to you, Manoj.
Thank you, Vimal, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Let me now walk you through the performance of our pharmaceutical division for quarter 1 FY26. During the quarter, the pharmaceutical segment recorded revenue of Rs. 203 crores and EBIT loss of Rs. 27 crore. Customer offtake patterns were impacted in part due to the recent USFDA OAI status at our Bangalore facility. This has led to a degree of volume deferral from the first half to the second half of the fiscal year. Margin realization was impacted by lower volumes and changed production mix. Our profitability was affected by lower operating leverage. However, based on our current visibility and the pace of engagement with customers, we do not anticipate an impact on overall revenue and margin performance for FY26. Now, I would like to give an update on our regulatory compliance. A major milestone this quarter was the successful completion of cGMP audits at our Bangalore facility by 2 global regulatory agencies, ANVISA Brazil and PMDA Japan. This reaffirms our regulatory credibility and significantly enhances our access to key Latin America markets and the strategic Japanese market. I would like to reaffirm our unwavering commitments to compliance and quality excellence, as Samir mentioned earlier. The OAI status received by our facility post the USFDA inspection is being addressed through a structured, time-bound remediation program. We are working closely with regulatory experts to ensure that a corrective and preventive action, which is CAPAs, meet the highest standards of global regulatory expectations. We have till date completed majority of the corrective actions, and we expect the remaining balance to be closed out before end of this quarter. We have kept the USFDA appraised of the progress on a regular basis. For our API business, we demonstrated volume degrowth on a Y-on-Y basis, driven by shift in offtake patterns from anchor customers and product mix. We have seen particular traction in certain markets where our long-standing portfolio is complemented by growing market share in select molecules. Our product development pipeline remains strong with 8 to 9 molecules currently under development, and we remain on track to launch 2 to 3 new products annually in line with a medium-term roadmap. As part of our risk mitigation strategy, we are progressing towards dual-side validation for all our critical APIs. Our CDMO business continues to benefit from the structural momentum driven by the China Plus One strategy, which is reshaping the global outsourcing landscape. We are observing a sharp uptake in our early-stage RFPs, particularly in high-value, small-volume molecule and advanced intermediates. This demand is being driven by global innovators and emerging biotech firms who are looking to diversify their development and manufacturing away from single region dependencies. While commercial scale-up timelines remain staggered, the volume and quality of engagements have significantly improved. We are currently working on various CDMO projects, of which a few are transitioning from early development into pilot scale. In the food and nutraceutical ingredients, we are on track to gain scale and expected to reach peak output over the next 18 to 24 months. We are working towards further expanding our product portfolio in this segment. Our initiatives in this segment are progressing well. Separately, the key starting materials being manufactured for global innovators have advanced into phase 3 clinical trials, and we expect these to translate into commercial launch by FY27. To support this momentum, we are investing in enhancing pilot scale capacities and dedicated project management teams for CDMO clients. These enablers will allow us to better serve early stage programs and establish ourselves as a long-term strategic partner. On the overall pharma business outlook, the API volumes are expected to improve, supported by regulatory approvals coming through across geographies and increased penetration in semi-regulated markets. In CDMO, while near-term visibility remains tight, the pipeline is robust and diversified with engagements growing in both volume and technical complexity. We have completed several customer audits during this quarter. Our near-term focus remains on improving contribution margins through cost productivity, scaling differentiated API projects in both segments, strengthening customer partnerships with compliance, quality and responsiveness, as well as enhancing regulatory readiness for new markets and molecules. Now, I would hand over to Anish, who will provide an overview of our business strategy.
Thanks, Manoj, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. First, I'd like to discuss our animal health business. Our animal health business continues to make steady strides, both operationally and strategically. Under our long-term supply agreement with a global animal health innovator, the development and validation of the API portfolio is progressing as planned. Several more products are currently in the validation pipeline, and commercial filings are underway for multiple markets. We expect commercial launches in FY26 and beyond. We are also taking a step further with two complex chemistry molecules that are moving to the development phase. Our relationships with several global innovators spread across the US and Europe in the animal health segment have been built over the last several years based on reliable delivery, technical collaboration which continues to strengthen further. We are increasingly positioned beyond just a manufacturing partner driven by innovation and a proven track record in complex synthesis, compliance and agility in process development. We are now focusing on expanding our footprint with tier 2 innovator customers, the biotech segment and the own product portfolio focused on several key geographies. This will further provide diversification to the animal health business and act as one of the key growth levers in the long run. Turning to our Project Pinnacle, which is our enterprise-wide transformation initiative, we continue to make disciplined progress in reorienting HICL for the long-term sustainable value creation. Well into its execution phase, the program is delivering measurable outcomes across critical levers, including supply chain resilience, digital modernization, operational excellence, and ESG integration. A core pillar of our strategy under Project Pinnacle is the diversification of our businesses across multiple dimensions, spanning end markets, customer segments, geographies, and product portfolios. We are actively expanding our footprint in high growth regions such as Latin America, among others, and increasing our presence in differentiated chemistries and deepening our participation in adjacent verticals such as the animal health business and specialty chemicals. This multi-pronged diversification approach is designed to structurally de-risk the business by reducing reliance on any single market or segment while enhancing our ability to navigate external volatility, whether regulatory, geopolitical, such as tariffs, or macroeconomic. Project Pinnacle is central to our ambition of building HICL into a more resilient, innovation-led, and globally competitive platform, well-positioned to capitalize on emerging opportunities across the life sciences value chain. In summary, although we have hit a slight hurdle in our pharmaceutical business, it is expected to recover in the second half of the year. Global prospects for all our businesses remain strong. We remain optimistic about the road ahead. We have focused initiatives on reducing costs and streamlining operational efficiency. Our geographic and product diversification is reducing concentration risk and reinforcing our ability to navigate global headwinds. Now, I would like to open the floor to Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets by asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Dhrumil Vani from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah.
Sir, you are audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. This is Dhaval this time. Couple of questions. So first on the agrochemical. Recently there are some media reports suggesting some increase in the prices of the agrochemical by Chinese supplier, and also the Chinese policy of not operating at such lower margins across various industries. Do you see any positivity and would like to change your outlook for the year, which you had? So last quarter you had a flattish growth outlook for agrochem, but given this scenario, for example, mancozeb prices has been increased, and couple of other molecules also. Any comment on that? And on pharmaceutical, it is mentioned in the press release that there has been some deferment of orders, the lifting of the orders by clients in CDMO and API division. And you expect recovery in Q2 and then going forward. So what are the actions the customers are taking? Are they sending their team to check the plant and be satisfied? And by when and how will they increase the uptake? And also, what is the deadline for us to submit the report to the USFDA? I think in last conversation was from September, October. But if you can just revisit the deadline that, by which we as investors can be, and we find that beyond this, there would not be any negative surprises coming. Yeah, these are my two questions.
Sure. So I'll let Vimal take the crop section and Manoj, you can answer the pharma part.
Yeah, so in China, though, there are news that some products slight price increase is there, but by and large prices are flat. And we, based on that, we anticipate the flattish revenue growth for the crop production division.
Okay, and what about the inventory situation at the end client level? Is that easing off because the numbers that the other companies are reporting are good so far?
So in some pockets it is improving. In some pockets still customers are holding high inventories. And they expect to rationalize inventory in the second half of this year.
And what's their exposure to Brazil?
Sorry?
What is the exposure to the Brazilian market?
For us, it is not very high. It's
okay.
Yeah.
Understood. Yeah. Thanks. And the pharma bit?
Yeah, on the pharma part, we received the OAI status from USFDA towards the end of May. So
yes.
That does mean that the customers do their own risk assessment. So many of them did it virtually. Some of them decided to come over to Bangalore and see for themselves. So that process takes around 6 to 8 weeks, and most of our customers have completed that their own risk assessment. And they found that everything is in order, whatever corrective actions we are taking. It does not give any risk to their products. The shipments have restarted now. And over the next 2 quarters, we'll be able to cover up the setback what we had in Q1. Coming to the corrective action, we have corrected almost 75% to 80% of the kappas which we have taken in our first response, followed by the updated response. By end of September, we'll be finishing all our corrective actions, and we are in regular touch with USFDA and giving them a monthly progress update. The last one was given as recent as July 31st, which is just a week back. We hope to hear from them by end of August on our responses.
Okay. And the entire cost of these corrective measures, has it been expensed completely on the P&L in this quarter?
So many of it is a little ongoing, that is on facility upgradation and quality control upgradation. So that is ongoing, and there is some bit of capital expense not much of P&L impact.
Okay, so there is no P&L impact of this, because I think in last conversation there was a 10-12 crore.
Let me introduce, let me interject. Yes, we have hired these consultants, so that we expect a 10 to 12 crore impact for this year. Almost 50% has come in the first quarter. And we expect it to continue for Q2 and Q3 as well.
Okay, so that around 5 crores is on the P&L.
For this quarter, that's right.
Yeah, it expense on the P&L.
That's right, in the other expenses,
In the other expenses, okay. Okay, so this year-over-year fall of around 23 crore in our pharma business. So, this gap is of this low uptake, and the growth also has been postponed, right? That bridge, right? The revenue bridge.
Shipments have been deferred. So that will be recovered in the next two quarters.
Okay. So they would be adjusting the inventory at the customer end by purchasing it from some other customer, or they have a buffer and they can they are okay with this deferment.
Most of them have a buffer. The big ones have a buffer. Yeah. So no orders have been cancelled for us due to this OAI status.
Okay. So, and can you reiterate your guidance for the year? What was it?
We had given it last time. It was crop protection was flat, and pharma we expected low teens growth.
Yeah, 12 to 14% guidance.
12 to 14%. Revenue growth.
Revenue growth. Yeah, and margins.
EBITDA margins will improve slightly, more or less, in the pharma business. Crop will be about flattish.
Okay, noted, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Then, before we move to the next participant, a request to all the participants, please limit your questions to two questions per participant and join the queue for a follow-up question. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Henil Bagadia from Equicorp. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I hope I'm audible. Sir, some clarification based on the previous participant. Sir, what is the revenue loss that we see due to the deferment of orders? And once you said that the orders are fine and the shipments have started, so we haven't taken any one-time inventory markdowns due to any quality or any possible suspect from the end of customers, right?
No. There's nothing wrong with product quality.
And what would be the, the revenue loss? Because, I mean, there's been a 20...
Yeah, I'll take that. So, revenue, it's not a revenue loss, it's a revenue deferment, which is about 50-odd crores in the first quarter, which is getting deferred to Q2 and Q3.
Okay, sir. So I actually had a question related to the plant, animal health plant. So we have commercialized the plant in FY24, I guess the third quarter of FY24. So usually in the pharma and chemical industries, I mean, the sooner we commercialize the plant, the better it is. And usually people have a three, four, or a five-year cycle to which they actually get it to optimum utilization for good paybacks and IRR and returns. So we have not commercialized it in, I mean, it's almost 2 years and we have not commercialized it still, and we are still waiting for more validation. So, I mean, when do we actually expect the commercial runs, and how has been the returns since we have not commercialized for the next 2 years? And also, is that how do you see the situation on the Spectrum plant that you just recently capitalized? What kind of payback do you see there? How fast do you want to commercialize and get into actually commercial batch orders and ramp up the utilization?
Yeah, so I'll take the first step. When we say commercialize the plant, we had a portfolio of products. So when we started in late FY24, we started with a validating a few products, and all through this last 12, 14 months, we've been validating the products. Once the first original products have been validated, now they're going through commercialization. So it's not correct to say that the plant is not commercialized. It's not for a single product. As we finish the last validation that we have coming up in the next quarter, all products will be validated through the plant, and commercial quantities will thereafter start between 12 to 14 months post-validation. We are supplying small commercial quantities already for the products that we had validated originally in late 2024. Right.
So that will be test batch quantities. That will be test batch quantities, and it won't be a significant part of the revenue, right?
No, they're starting out small, where they change. Basically, they have some inventory on hand from their original suppliers. So that inventory they're going to stop, and then from 2080, it's going to become 80% us and 20% the second source supplier.
Okay.
Yeah. And your second question regarding the specialty chemicals. So what we've done is basically the growth rate that we see in pharma is surpassing that what we see currently in the crop protection business. So what we've done is we've taken that spec chem plant and we've converted partly into pharma and animal health for future business that we have backed by contracts. So we expect that currently what we're doing is we're undergoing some refitment in terms of equipment, clean rooms, closing out some of the plant, and we expect that in the next 6 to 9 months we'll be able to start commercial production, at least validation and then commercial products production for some of these products.
So just a clarification here, so when you said you're converting some part of the spec chem plant to pharma use, so what will be our investment that we would be doing in terms of clean room and additional some reactors also? And would we have to go through the entire process of getting approvals from, I mean, the regulatory authorities or the markets where we plan to supply these quantities? And how much time would that take?
So mostly what will happen is, since the plant is already on the US FDA property, right, so it's also considered to be US FDA approved per se because of the quality standards and the procedures are all following global regulatory standards. So from that perspective, we're fine. Individual customers may or may not come and do their own audits per se. And obviously, when you commercialize a new plant, especially for pharma and for potentially animal health, those products will be validated and then commercial supplies will start thereafter. So it's going to be a mix of products that we already have in the pipeline. So for example, we have some commercial products in the pipeline that we're already manufacturing. So as a de-risking measure, we may put some of those products in this new asset to meet capacity that we have, that we want. And in addition to which, we'll have a diversified range of new products that are coming from pharma and animal health. And of course, we have our spec chem business also that continues to happen.
Okay. And on the payback and the return metrics for both the animal health plant and the spec chem plant, when do you see optimal utilization and break-even and then your peak turnover and peak utilization?
Yeah, so, you know, it's the same as you mentioned. We follow the same metrics. It's anywhere between 5 to 6 years, as you said earlier. We follow the same metrics, you know.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. I'll just fall back into the queue.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So first question is on the pharma side, you know, on the OAI being issued by the US FDA. So, given how the OAI works, so what happens to our existing pipeline of products that we'll be doing on the CDMO side for our innovator partners? So, you know, are we trying to shift it to the Panoli plant or, what kind of corrective action are we taking, and are our innovator partners shifting this products that they plan to launch to other CDMO companies?
So what we've done is that after this OAI status, all our customers obviously reached out to us and came and checked out all our systems and all the projects that were awarded to us. And irrespective, even before this, many of our products as part of our risk mitigation were already being filed from Panoli. For example, almost 80% or 90% of our animal health new portfolio is being filed from Panoli, irrespective of this OAI status. So that continues as is. On the API side, on the human API side, on both the generics and the CDMO space, all the new filings we're doing from Panoli, the existing products which are in Bangalore, which we were launching, we've given the customer the option of either keeping it in Jigni or Bangalore or to moving it to Panoli. So far, they're comfortable with keeping it in Bangalore based on the audits and the quality satisfaction that they've done post the audits that have been carried in the last 2-3 months. But there is a move to de-risk, as Manoj mentioned, all our critical APIs, and we are proactively doing the filings from Panoli and also giving this customer the offerings to move the products to Panoli if they need. But very few have said that they want to actually move. Most of them are comfortable with keeping it in Bangalore itself. And they expect us to...
The reason is that they are comfortable as of now with the corrective action which we have taken. So, and their audits have also shown that there is definitely a possibility that next few months or maybe early next year we can reverse this OAI status.
But, you know, given Haikal's track record and, you know, your focus on the regulatory compliance, this OAI comes as a big surprise. You know, you have always been harping on, you know, spending a lot on fixed assets, which keeps our, you know, asset turnover low because you have been guiding for a very good compliance track record. So, you know, can you talk about the nature of observations which have been issued and, you know, what corrective actions are we taking to reverse this? And, you know, any update on when is the inspection for the Panoli plant also due now?
Okay, first of all, none of the observations were to do with data integrity and they were procedural in nature. So that's where we are on the observations. Regarding the Panoli plant, the last audit was in 2023 with 0483 observations. And we're ready for an inspection. They come every 2-3 years for an inspection. So we're due for an inspection maybe next year, if not earlier.
Sure.
And also, the same facility was approved by Anvisa Brazil and Japan PMJ, which are equally stringent. So, okay, it has been a bit of an aberration the way it is by US FDA. But we are sure, confident that we'll get back where of our original track record.
Sure. So, but do we have sufficient capacities available in the Panoli plant over the next year or two to, you know, to fulfill the kind of demand that can come from the new product launches which are planned for this year and next financial year?
Yes, we have, as part of our risk mitigation and our Project Pinnacle, Panoli site was being expanded. And most of the new capex that Kuldeep spoke about is being done in Panoli. And the Panoli plant is building up new paths and new assets. So this is part of the plan and we'll be moving all our new launches to Panoli. And this was done before the FDA OAI status as well. So we're just intensifying that now.
Thank you, Anvisha.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir. So one question on this deferment side. I know you already have answered so many similar questions, but one thing on this deferment earlier, actually, I mean, people are thinking about, because of this US tariff issues, people are deferring on the shipments or ordering. So now, although we know that these are deferments and may complete in second and third quarter, but given the kind of rate hikes came into picture, are we seeing any change in these orders or rates given the kind of tariff is there?
Hello, you want to take that?
Yeah, when you say rate hike, means tariffs.
Yeah.
So as of now, tariffs are not impacting the farmer business at all. And we believe that these deferred sales, as we mentioned earlier, will be recovered in quarter two and quarter three. And I explained in our opening session as well, as Samir mentioned, that yes, there's a process. Customers do their own audits and risk assessment post the FDA. And we have maintained the full transparency with all customers. There's nothing systemically wrong with the Haikal facility or practices. Observations were mostly procedural, and we are confident of resolving them by end of September. We'll complete all the actions and then wait for the US FDA to respond. We are actively engaging with the agency to come out of it at the earliest.
Okay. And secondly, on the personal care segment, I know it's too early, but just if you can give some color on this opportunity which we are looking at and how much time definitely it would be to get the final approval from the customers, and how big revenue contribution could be there from this side.
Yeah, Vimal, can you take that?
Yeah, so you're right. This is really early for us to comment fully on this, but just to give you perspective that these RFPs, normal timelines of approval is around one and a half year. And once you get this, then you get into the development of that molecule and then commercialization timelines, which is typically 1.5 to 3 years. Margins are good in this.
Okay. Got it. And these are largely for export customers, or domestic we'll be looking at?
So it's for both, but largely for export.
Sir, do you have any other question? As there is no response from the participant, we'll move to the next participant. The next question comes from the line of Rohit Mehta from Nexus Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. So apologies, I joined the call a little late, so apologies if you already covered this. Just wanted to know, so can you highlight reasons for, you know, there's this deferment of revenue. So just wanted to know, sir, reasons for the same, and what is the process that, you know, what would customer would follow generally after this, for this?
Yeah, no problem, Rohit. So what's happened is that, which I covered in my opening speech in Manoj's book, is that the deferment happened due to the OAI status, and customers came to recheck and re-audit the facilities, which takes about 6 to 8 weeks by the time they give us approvals. And all this has been completed as of end of July, and shipments have started from July itself onwards. And we expect the ramp up to happen in August, September, October, November. So we expect this deferment of, which was to the tune of approximately 50 crores from quarter one, to be made out in quarter two and quarter three. I'd like to reiterate again that no orders have been cancelled and all contracts are in place, and customers reaffirmed their commitment to pick up the product from us within quarter two and quarter three. So we are quite relatively confident that this will be made up within the next two quarters itself.
Right. So that was very helpful, sir. So just a follow-up on that, if you were helpful, if you could just highlight, you know, status of our response that we would have filed to the US FDA. Is it all been cleared, or is it still pending?
So there were a few observations that were given to us. Based on that, we had corrective actions, preventive actions called CAPAs. A large majority of them have been already implemented and updated to the FDA. We are in constant touch with the FDA on a regular basis. The last update went in end of July, just a week ago. The remaining CAPAs, which is a small percentage, is remaining, and that will be completed by September. So that by end of September, we will complete all the CAPAs, and we are expecting to hear back from the FDA in the next few weeks, by next month or so, regarding the next steps. We are actively engaging with them, and we have also quite confident that we should be able to resolve the issue at the earliest.
Sure, sir. That was very helpful. That's from my answer. Wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Parth Vasani from KK Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you and good evening. Just excuse me if there's any repetition. I got disconnected in the between. So I had just one question. If you could highlight what are the measures that you have taken to address the OAI?
This OAI status has, you know, come as a bit of a surprise for us, because as you know, for the last 25 years, Hikers had a stellar record with the regulatory authorities. Immediately after this inspection, we had two inspections from Brazil and PMDA Japan, which is equally stringent, and those went off successfully. So that being said, when we got to know this OAI status in end of May, we knew the observation. We started working on this post the observations which were given to us in February. and we have onboarded external global regulatory consultants who are helping us to close out the observations and the CAPAs on an urgent basis. We've also collaborated with some of our global customers whose quality teams have working with our quality teams to ensure that all this, responses are done properly and all the systems, wherever needed some course corrections are being done. We have onboarded several new industry experts into the quality organization, created a quality excellence team in the company, and provided more and more digitization and automation has been implemented in the organization. In addition to that, we have also started moving more and more products to our Panoli site, and we're validating several products on our Panoli site, which was anyway part of our program, but that has only been intensified and speeded up. Most of our new molecule launches were planned anyway for Panoli, and the existing business which is remaining in Bangalore, we've offered our customers the option of dual sites, and as of now they're comfortable with the site in Bangalore based on the audits and the visits that they have undertaken physically at our sites in the last couple of months.
Got it. That was really helpful, and thank you very much for the detailed answer.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Manoj Bagadia from Equicorp. Please go ahead.
Hi, Samir.
Hi, Manoj.
Samir, just one question about the FY26 guidance. Do you see any other risk to the FY26 guidance apart from the deferrals what we have seen in pharma?
Well, I mean, regulatory tariffs is global tariffs or regulatory tariffs is a question mark, right? As of now, pharma is not covered by tariffs, but it's anybody's guess, right? Things are so fluid and changing. If there's but that will affect the entire industry, not only affect us. So, yeah.
Right. Okay, so tariff is the only thing that you are worried about, right? In case if it comes. And my second question is, in last 4 years, you would have spent almost 900 crores in CapEx, right? Investments in businesses. And somehow, because of the situation, whatever has happened, you have not been able to generate much return on that. And this, what happened with the US FDA, again, that is probably differing to an extent. And apart from that, one plant we are converting into pharma and agro, right? So whatever has happened, now do you see that FY28 you will have the best return from the CapEx we have invested instead of FY27? Or you feel FY27 will capture significant upside from these investments?
No, that's the plan. You're right. The CapEx has been spent in the last 3-4 years. Some of it has gone towards growth CapEx. A large part of it has also gone towards infrastructure CapEx. We have spent a lot of money on our R&D center in Pune. We have upgraded our Panoli facilities in the last 2-3 years to get US FDA inspected in 23. And a lot of infrastructure was spent in Panoli on the CapEx as well. That being said, yes, the plan is on FY28-29, all the CapEx should be slowly start returning the return that was expected to give.
So FY26 would not be as per your expectation, right? Original expectation. It could be probably somewhat lower than what you would have expected earlier.
Yeah, more or less. We had planned because the crop business are doing a lot of stress as of now. The pharma business will grow. Can we grow faster for sure? But it will definitely grow compared to last year, the pharma business. And we're quite optimistic with this new NCEs that we're launching in human and in animal health. The future is extremely bright for the pharma business, and and even with the crop business, with the volumes coming back, which Vimal spoke about by end of this financial year, and volume recovery is already beginning. We have also onboarded some new customers and won some new RFPs, which will start coming into play by 27-28. So then the crop business capacity utilization will also grow up significantly, and that is about operating leverage. So returns will look far healthier than where we are today.
Samir, all the best for the future. And just one suggestion, request, whatever you say. Been investor in this company for almost 12, 15 years, I don't know how long, right? In last few years, the return as an investor has not been much because of whatever factors have happened. But hope we catch up in next 2-3 years, we catch up for the returns of last 5, 7, 8 years. I hope.
Sure. For that. Sure. I hope we can, we'll meet your expectations. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Samir. Appreciate that.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pranay Dhelia from Panch Tantra Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I hope I'm audible.
Sunil. Yes, sir, you're audible.
See, another very disappointing set of numbers. If we just go back by 3 months, last con call we were promised that growth has returned and we'll see better days ahead. And we always talk of the long term whenever we have a shattering quarter. But as the previous person, gentleman asking the question said, if you look at the last 10 years data, I think that is good enough to judge long term. Our profit growth has been 8%. Last 5 years, it has been 1% negative. Sales growth has been 4%. So when does this long term actually translate into the present term? Or do we just hear long term for our grandchildren?
No, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think we have a detailed plan called Pinnacle, which is very detailed out, a very structured plan. And we're going as per that. Despite the quarter one being, even the quarter one last year was a very low quarter. But as we said, we grew substantially in quarter two, and by quarter four, we ended the year very positively. So this quarter, yes, there was a setback because of deferment, which was not anticipated 3-4 months ago. But that has happened. It is what it is. But we have a very elaborate plan which is put into place to ensure that the growth comes back this year. And we have plans to de-risk our portfolios. And the crop business, once it comes back to steady state of what it was in FY23, the crop division had grown till FY23. Yes, pharma went up and down. But it will come back to those levels, and then the company will start firing on all cylinders. It's a matter of two more years, I think. Pharma will come back this year and crop will come back in a year after that.
So what you're trying to imply is for 2 years we'll be having these swings here and there and we don't see any constructive growth.
I didn't say that. I said we will still show growth next year. I have given my guidance.
With all due respect, sir, as a shareholder, we would be happier if the company does well. But you'll have to have some kind of limit on our patience, wherein we've been invested in the company. Forget the share price. That is always going to follow the fundamentals. The fundamentals refuse to improve. You would be agreeing to me if I say last 5 years, we've had flat sales and no profit growth at all, rather degrowth.
Yeah, okay. The numbers are there. I mean, what do you want me to say?
No, I said we must find some way to improve on it. I mean, even on the pharma side, we are having industry bottom margins. We look at all other pharma companies, they've improved. There's something which we are doing wrong, which needs to be corrected. The long-term world just does not hold good anymore.
No, point is noted. I think we appreciate your long-term investment and your patience in the company. And I just would reiterate to you to remain invested. And we're turning the corner and the future is bright.
I hope so too. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sajal from Anti-Fragile Thinking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, many thanks for taking my questions. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Samir and Manoj, question is directed to both of you, if you can, please. So my sense is PMDA visited many weeks after US FDA visited and raised those critical observations. So the CAPA must have been largely completed by the time the Japanese regulators visited, right? And so while customers may have been reassured following this CAPA implementation, it kind of unequivocally indicates that Bangalore plant was non-compliant prior to this corrective action, and this breach likely undermined customers' confidence, putting future projects still pending award to Hycle at significant risk being awarded to our competitors now, right? So how will Hycle convince both the existing as well as the new customers to award fresh contracts in light of what has happened with this OAI?
Yeah, Yeah, Manoj, all yours.
Yeah, see, the US FDA audit happened in early February. This was followed by Anvisa in April, Anvisa Brazil, followed by May PMDA. So every agency or every auditor who comes to the site has a different way of looking at the same thing. So yes, US FDA, we got 6 observations and we gave them a response and we corrected and we are in the process of correcting, but both Anvisa and PMD of the same facility gave only a few minor observations. So it may not be 100% true, right, to say that we were non-compliant in the period February-March. We have always been compliant. Yes, there are some procedural observations which we are correcting, and even US FDA has not kind of put any embargo on our products or production or shipments. It is more for a future that we have to correct. And customers, when they came to audit us also, they have been satisfied with the progress. And even before this US FDA inspection, customers do come regularly and visit and audit. So things were have been good. Okay, there was a minor aberration, which we'll correct now. So I don't think it's the OAS status reflects any fundamental non-compliance at the Bangalore site. And as recent as 2019, we had just a single observation in Bangalore. Panoli was done in 2023, and that was with 0483. So we have had a good history for the last 20-25 years, and we continue to, and we are confident that we'll bounce back after this OAI status.
Sure, Manoj.
We have seen several examples in the country as well. Yeah, things do go wrong, and you have to take it in your stride and correct it.
No, of course, Manoj. I mean, all of us appreciate that. I mean, science is a moving target, and you know, new regulations keep coming our way, and we got to be on your toes. And Haikal has
been. Yeah, and also it's very subjective, some of these observations. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fine. And typically, you know, customers face a penalty for canceling contracts, the CDMO contracts in particular, which likely explains why they are still honoring their, you know, current agreements. However, this may lead to, and it's a may is the keyword here, this may lead them to kind of, you know, rethink and reevaluate their options for future agreements. Is that a possibility?
Difficult to say, but they have continued to engage with us, and they have audited, and they are confident that they will that we'll come out of it very soon. And
right,
there's no risk to product quality or any impact of that kind. So we don't see that much of a risk. Yes, there's an OAI status. We will correct.
Okay.
There's no real penalty. There was so concerned, people would have found the cancelled orders or cancelled contract, but fortunately that has not happened.
Okay, sure. And finally,
they support you. See, they know that these things happen and they work with you. I'll say the other way. Because they have approved you, so they also believe that things are correctable, and they work with you jointly to ensure that
I agree with that point, Manoj, for sure, because we have seen that with DBs who got US FDA very, you know, even there was an import alert, if I'm not mistaken, back in 2017.
Yeah, I didn't want to
but customers flew all the way from US and they worked shoulder to shoulder with DBs guys, and they sorted everything out within a matter of the top of my head, I think 6 to 8 months. No, that's
it's a partnership. It's a partnership what we have with CDMO customers.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And Sameer, you mentioned that H2 will outperform H1 this year, but isn't that typically the case for Haikal anyway? And many of the other CDMO companies, I mean, you look at Piramal, you look at Laurus, I mean, you name any. Typically, what we find is that H2 is heavier because in Q3, customers don't want to take shipment because it's their year-end December quarter, so they don't want to put inventory on their balance sheet. So Q4 anyway is very strong for the industry. So how does this Q4 this year is exceptional that we need to call it out separately that H2 will be stronger than H1? I mean, that anyway has been, if you look at the history of Haikal over many years.
I said that was because of the loss of quarter one, this additional deferment, right, which is taking place, which was not anticipated in the regular year in the past. So that is going to have an additional upside on the H2 numbers beyond H1. So then that differential between H2 and H1 will be greater than what it historically used to be for us.
Yeah. Okay. Understood. Thank you. Thank you and all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you. The last question comes from the line of Henil Bagadia from Equicorp. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity again, sir. Sir, for the last 10 to 12 quarters, we've seen a massive slowdown in the crop protection side. So, and we actually refocused the strategy more towards the CDMO part. So, I mean, we did plan to get into complex generics and we also plan to do the CDMO part for the in-patent molecules for the customers. So, I mean, where are we out there and how have we seen that move in the last 10 to 12 quarters in terms of our revenue contribution? And also, if you could also allude, what's your aspirational target for the CDMO part across all the three verticals, animal health, pharma, and the crop chem?
Well, we are moving, getting involved in more and more complex products as a percentage of our business. We're getting involved more and more on patent chemistry, I would say, rather than complex. On the generic side, yes, the products are more complex, which we're launching, compared to the commodity portfolio that we probably had about 4 or 5 years ago. All the new launches we're doing is more on niche chemistry, niche molecules that we will be launching in the next few calendar years. So that's a big change on the pharma side. On the second question was regarding what is the split between own and CDMO, right? That was the question that
yeah,
you had?
What's the split and what's your aspirational target? Where do you see going about 3-4 years down the line?
Well, CDMO has already overtaken even in this quarter significantly the own products. And as a revenue, it will be almost, historically, it used to be about 50-50 as a company. If you look at historical last 3-4 years.
Yeah, historically, 50.
We are moving towards 60-40, 60 CDMO, 40 own, and very soon we'll get to about 70 CDMO and 30 own in the next couple of years.
Okay. So, and a lot of our crop chem capacity is not completely utilized, so is it possible to convert it into other spec chem? As we've done in spec chem, we have converted into part pharma and part we are going to do on the spec chem side, because as we get into the HPC and the BPC, that is the beauty and personal care products and household personal care products, I mean, one of our peers, they have guided for about 2 times volumes and even more EBITDA growth. So, I mean, because there's a lot of traction out there, and since we also there in the sulfur chemistry, so, I mean, do you see some kind of fungible shift happening?
No, I think so. The industry is looking quite promising. And we're retooling some of our crop production lines to make personal care products. And the launches are being done from quarter three onwards. From our crop
production
line.
So, what will be the capex there?
It's very marginal. Just retooling. Few very, very negligible.
Okay.
Because our crop finishing areas are built at very high standards for multinational companies. So we've been audited by the personal care global companies. They've come and visited our crop sites and they've approved them for personal care products with some documentation, upgradation, et cetera, which is easily repurposable and done, which we're doing.
Then lastly, on the CDMO part, so if you see the industry, a lot of companies actually get contracts because they've got a CRDMO. They've got a research vertical also. So for us, I mean, we were masters in process chemistry where we could produce probably cheaper than most of the other CRDMO players. So, I mean, we've invested significantly on the research side in the last 5-6 years. So, I mean, do you see going forward we can monetize this kind of vertical where we provide outsourced research services or probably get a CRDMO vertical too in order to increase our traction on this, the CDMO to CRDMO set? As you said, rightly said, earlier we were 50-50 and probably aspirationally we can go to 70-30 also. And it also make the research as a cash cow or a cash generating unit.
No, that's a very good question, and that's actually the strategy. Our R&D center has moved more towards CRDO, and that builds into our CDMO engine. And all the new projects, most of the new projects we're winning is starting in R&D, in development, making a few kilograms and then scaling it up, and then moving into a CMO model. So it's always contract development first, which is the CD part, and the MO part is coming subsequent. Because we have a good, strong R&D, we're winning more CDMO projects. And the R&D center in Pune is being looked at more as a profitability center. It is generating revenue, and it has a it will generate business for us also, for our CDMO business.
So is it right to aspirationally assume going down, I mean, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, other than the crop chem and the pharma segment we see right now, we probably see animal, pharma, crop chem research as a separate division and a spec chem division, I mean, targeting, I mean, HPC, BPC as of now and probably some other industries also.
Yeah, I think 4 verticals for sure. But see, the R&D will feed all the 4 verticals because it's a really state-of-the-art R&D center and it is built on innovation and technology. Because eventually, once you scale up the product and do the launches on a commercial scale, that's when the big volumes and the revenues come. R&D, every project value is very small, but it gets a stickiness with the customers because they're involved early on in phase 2, phase 3 with the customers, and then they don't change once they're in the supply chains.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the answer, sir, and wish you best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sameer Hiremath for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining our quarterly earnings call and for your continued interest in our company. We appreciate your support as we navigate through the challenges of the global business environment. As we conclude this call, we want to assure you that we are here to address any further questions or concerns. Please feel free to reach out to us or our investor relations partners, Strategic Growth Advisors. Once again, thank you for your participation and have a good evening.
Thank you. On behalf of ICIL Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.